Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to be playing Point Salad, designed by Sean Stankiewicz of Truffle Shuffle and Dollars to Donuts, and Molly Johnson of Truffle Shuffle and Dollars to Donuts, and Robert Melvin of Truffle Shuffle and Dollars to Donuts. So good little team there.
They really enjoy food-based games.
I know. I want Dollars to Donuts. It sounds good. I'm hungry.
And it is developed by Todd Rowland. The artist is Dylan Mangini of Truffle Shuffle and Dollars to Donuts. They got a really solid group here.
Mm-hmm. Good team.
It is published in 2019 by AEG and Flatout Games. The description is, Point Salad is a fast and fun card drafting game for the whole family. There are over 100 ways to score points. Players may use a variety of strategies, and every game of Point Salad is unique. The mechanics are card drafting and set collection. And then the box art is kind of a little...
It's like a cereal box of salad items, it reminds me of.
I was thinking PowerPoint clip art.
Yeah, it's like a flat art style. We use the less derogatory term for it. It's like a flat art of like there's some vegetables there on a little plate. Got a good variety. A carrot.
I guess some of those fruits have reflections that probably shouldn't have reflection. Getting a reflection off your carrot, you
they've just been cleaned up, shined up, and then, gotta have them look good.
It's those. The Japanese wax food that they put out as like their menu. That's like a big industry, like making like wax indications of the food.
So we got a wax salad here. So based off all this, would you pull it off a shelf?
I would. Aging. Boom.
Okay.
Yeah. And I remember seeing this at Gen Con in 2019. Mm. And it was one of those ones where it was like every time we walk past the booth, I was like, oh, I really want to play that. But every table was full. Mm. And it was always busy.
I mean, I think if we hadn't played the artichoke game, I might not be a meat. But after artichoke, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do some vegetables.
More vegetables. Yeah.
I'm kind of mad on this one. Salad. Like you said, our artichoke game is swaying me a bit more. Well, I think the concept is like point salad. I don't know that it's going to have much of a theme. I think it's just going to be like a sort of like a point game. I don't know. I don't know if it'll be like as maybe it'll be like Abandon All Artichokes, where it's just sort of like a fun thing on top of it. But I don't know. I'm not sure it'll be much thematically. And so I feel like it's going to be kind of like a point puzzle game. A little too abstract puzzly for me, but who knows? So how do you think it's played, BP? We don't have a whole lot of card drafting.
The mechanics.
Set collection.
Card drafting. Well, so we're building salads. I'm going to go out on a limb. Card drafting and set collection. So I think like along the lines of Abandon All Artichokes, like we'll get hands of cards. And then, yeah, we want to have a tomato salad. Although really in a salad, you want to have some diversity, but I don't know. Maybe we want to have so many tomatoes in our salad or so many carrots. So much rocket, if you will.
It's going to be like Overcooked where someone's just screaming, I need tomatoes.
Now I want to play Kitchen Rush. I think the part that says there are over 100 ways to score points is what's interesting. So I think it's going to be like a cat lady on crack where like there's going to be every like, you know, a tomato combined with a carrot is this set of points. And then you have, I think it's just going to be a very large hierarchy of like doing this combination gets you this points, but you want to have like this many. In fact, there might even be like point cards to kind of like guide that. And so it's like, oh yeah, if you have, you know, three tomatoes and a carrot, you get points. And if you've got, so I feel like it's just going to be like a big combination of all the different vegetables and you're collecting those sets and something like that. That's kind of all we have to go on. So that's as good as we're going to get. History of salads.
Well, if you guys do want to know the history of salad.
That's what we're here for.
That's the only reason I picked this game.
I was actually super excited to learn about it because pretty much, I mean, you could imagine if you know much about Greek culture and Greek exportation, you know that they were really big on the olive oil. And so many people have found that in both some of the records and then just like what they had available to him, that most ancient Greek and Roman cultures, of course, were pretty high into the salad. And in fact, in French, the word salade actually is just lettuce. So, I mean, that idea is rooted in this European culture. And then, of course, as different vegetables came around, different proteins came around, it was not necessarily like glorified like some of the other things, because obviously a tomato, for instance, is an American product. So that wouldn't have entered into Europe until, you know, post 16th century pretty much, and wasn't highly rated in the beginning. But all other kinds, like there's lots of 17th century records of like salad oil being exported, of different types of wine vinegars and such being exported that many have pointed to being used as different types of salad dressings. And it can be used, I think in the America, like in the US, we mostly eat it as either like an appetizer at the beginning. It can definitely be a main dish, as I was saying, like I really love like a good hearty salad, even for breakfast. My husband makes weird faces at me when I say that. In some places, they do dessert salads that are heavily onto the puddings and whipped creams. In France, in fact, they have salad kind of after the meal to help kind of digestif almost.
I was going to quote Ron Swanson, who says, "Salad is the food that my food eats."
Mm. Okay.
Point salad is quick. A single round could be a game where players can choose multiple rounds and track the score over each. The winner is the player with the most points. They suggest in the rulebook splitting the deck into equal parts based on player count, and that will dictate the number of rounds. For example, for three players, they recommend two equal rounds with 54 cards in the deck per round, and that's what we're going to do. So the start player is randomly chosen.
How about the last person to eat a salad?
Well, I did pick maybe the last to eat a vegetable or flip over a card and the last to eat that particular vegetable could go first. Last to have a salad was also an option I wrote. There's lots of great choices. So I'm going to go last to eat a salad was BP.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. So BP gets to go first.
You don't know when I last ate a salad.
I was fairly certain it's much later than BP. So on a player's turn, they can either draft one point card from the top of any draw pile, or they can draw two veggie cards from the veggie market and add them face up in the tableau in front of them. A player can also take an optional action of flipping a point card to a veggie card that's in their tableau, but you can never flip a veggie card to a point card. At the end of the player's turn, if the veggie market is missing cards, it is refilled from the draw pile. So essentially, the cards are double-sided. So on one side, it has points. And the other side, it has vegetables.
Okay.
And so the points could be something like, for every pair of carrots, you get 2 points. So then for every pair of carrots, you get 2 points. Okay. And then just like Welcome to, the point side of the card will show you what vegetable is on the other side before you actually flip over and decide which one it is. All right, the round, the game ends when all players, all the cards from the draw piles and veggie market have been drafted. So once all the cards are gone from the middle of the table, the round is done. And then players will get points based on their point cards and the vegetables they've collected in their tableau. Whoever has the most points is the winner. And that is it. That is all the rules to point salad.
Let's make salads? Okay, let's play.
We just finished a game of point salad. To recap, round one, BP scored 27 vegetable points. Kiwi had 43 vegetable points, and I had 48 vegetable points. And round two, BP made a big comeback with 48 vegetable points. I had 29 vegetable points. Kiwi came in last at 22 vegetable points for the worst overall round. And our totals were Kiwi with 65 salad points. BP with 75 salad points. And I pulled it out just ahead with 77 salad points. Winning strategy was to collect vegetables. A point.
Yeah.
Did anybody else have a different strategy?
Yeah. No, I did. I did, you guys.
Yeah, I tried two different strategies.
I did,
you
too.
Go first.
Well, I wanted the most vegetables at the beginning. Like, I just wanted, like, a wide variety because I was just, I went for vegetables, like, full round the first one, which obviously did not pay off very much. And then I saw how much you guys had scored with all those point things, but I was very strategic at my point things. I did not take them right at the beginning. I started collecting my vegetables first and strategically beat my points based on what I already had. Mm.
So the first round, I went with just grabbing a couple of point cards and then building to those point cards. Mm-hmm. And then the second round, I collected vegetables for a little bit. And then I grabbed some point cards and then I built to those. And I felt like that wasn't as strong.
Let's see. I think I did that both rounds. I was like, I didn't know what points I wanted. So I grabbed some vegetables for like first two rounds. And then I started looking at the point cards. But you did a lot more of the negative ones. I think BP and I avoided those mostly when we
killed. Oh, yeah. I avoided negative ones. Yeah.
So you were trying the trickier game of, like, you know, avoiding certain vegetables and that kind of thing. And I don't
think, missing vegetables.
I didn't want to put up with that. So I did not do that. Mm-mm.
Especially, like, I would find, like, picking the points later, especially, like, because I had diversified my salad second round for sure. Like, when all those, like, do you have the most of this came up, I went for those and I had two of those and those were money. Mm.
Yeah. The second round I picked a couple, like, if you have odds or evens, you get these points, but I felt like those didn't, those weren't good. Cause they didn't build on each other. Like you couldn't try to, you know, get that. And plus I felt like we had just a ton of pepper and,
It was weird.
So,
because the first game, I felt like pepper was not coming out at all. And then the second game, I feel like it was all pepper and lettuce.
Yeah. So if you play a single round of it, the way that, so basically you shuffle it up. Mm-hmm. And for us, we just split the deck. I think there's 108 cards. Mm. We just split it. So there's going to be a different distribution in between. If you play just a single round, you take out cards based on the number of players. So you could end up with more vegetable cards than others, and you don't really know one way or the other. So it's a lot like Sushi Go, where it's going to be different every hand because there's so many cards and depending on the number of players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I felt like the last three rounds, like we had all lettuce and pepper out there and none of us wanted it. So we just sort of, nobody picked any cards for like a couple of rounds.
Yeah, and you pointed out like having cards that kind of went together. I felt like in my first round, I had a bunch of cards that made onions worth a lot. Mm-hmm. Whereas my point cards in the second round, I kind of spread them out more. So I didn't really have anything that worked off of each other. Mm-hmm. And also I had a ton of carrots and I didn't have a single point card that let me earn points for carrots because Eric took it.
Yeah, and I didn't have any carrots because those were the only point cards I could take because the other ones had negatives on it. So I think we sort of just screwed each other in that last round. What'd you think of the theme?
I think it's like Abandoned All Artichokes, right? Mm-hmm. Where the theme is fun, but it's not necessary or play into it at all.
I would say I think it's unlike Abandoned All Artichokes where it's the same theme without the fun part. It's not as it's not as fun. It's just like raw, like just salad.
Yeah. And well, because the thing with Abandoned on Artichokes is that each vegetable comes with a different power almost. Yep. And that's just not here. I mean, the point cards try to do that, but
honestly, this theme was based on the term point salad in gaming. And that was really the pun they were trying
that's
to play
a,
off.
That's
of
a
and,
term.
Yeah. So a point salad refers to a game where you have non-gamer so many points here. From all over the place that it's just kind of, you spend all your time at the end of the game, like counting up points.
Hmm. Like Feast for Odin is a point salad. You can get points from this. You could get points from that.
Yeah. Points from all over the place.
Where your brain makes
plays. Yeah. So that's where the term a point salad comes from. Okay. So this game was kind of a play on that. And it really, like, I think that's more the theme is that it really is a point salad because every back of the card is a different set of points.
But you're still getting all points from set collection. So I actually don't think it's actually a point salad either.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would base my theme on a gaming in joke, I guess. Maybe not the choice I would go with.
design a game called Analysis Paralysis.
Yeah, exactly.
You just sit around the table staring at each other.
What'd you think of the art, BP?
I mean, it was fine, straightforward. Like, I don't know. It's not exciting. Like, at least, again, if we're comparing to Abandon All Artichoke, like, the vegetables had cute little faces on them. They did stuff. These were just straight up
very
vegetables.
Iconography style. It's more of the icon of the art is the icon of the vegetable, I guess. I was hoping for something more like a Cat Lady or Santa Monica, both from AEG, that had a little bit more pleasing art. I'm going to say pleasing art, I guess. I don't know.
I think the point of this game, and this is just me, is that it's meant to be quick, fast filler game. And so I don't think they went for extravagant
So is Cat Lady.
That's true, but they definitely invested in art and cuteness. Whimsy, if you will.
I guess that whimsy is a good word. I wish I had a bit more whimsy with it.
I know. Whimsy is so good.
Art-wise, no, I think you guys pretty much nailed it. It's, you know, it is what it is. It displays what vegetable it is very clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, colors are good. Color preferred people, and the icons are good for icon preferring people. What about the mechanics, though?
You know, the multi-use cards is nice. I don't think any of us ever flipped a card. Mm-hmm. I did think about it in the second round.
Yeah, I thought about it,
but I just didn't.
I think the flipping piece is more of a backup mechanic, so you're not screwed out of a whole round if, like, you really, really don't want any of the vegetables and the points don't do anything for you. I think it's kind of an extra way to say, you know, hey, you're not going to lose this turn entirely. You could flip this card.
And that makes sense.
So I don't think they want it to. It's a thing they don't really want to come up a lot, but it's there if you need it.
Right. And I think that comes out in the fact that you and I thought about doing it. We just didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, mechanically, I do like the multi-use cards with the front and the back and the fact that they're different. You could have different points for every game. I think we saw different points cards and others. And the idea, I think it would be relatively easy to teach other people and other non-gamers.
Yeah, the card thing was really creative. I like that when we had the grid and you explained that, oh, this flips over. So you can't really plan the point out, because you don't know what people are going to take and everything's changing constantly. So I like that. I like the variation on points. Like you said, it seemed like a good little puzzle of figuring out, you know, what you're trying to get and what you have and,
or what you're not trying to get. Mike,
the fact that you can change that mid game too, right? It's not a lot of games. You have that up front. The fact that you can mid game could probably change directions entirely if you wanted to.
And probably be okay too, I think.
Yeah. So I liked all that kind of clever card use, I thought.
Not to disagree with anything that you all had just said, because I was shaking, nodding my head, I think, most
of
the time.
Which is good for a podcast. Yeah,
yeah, I know. It's very good. I didn't want to interrupt anyone there. But I would go back to Eric's opening comment in the second part of it, where he was like, it's basically set collection.
Oh, yeah. This is very fancy set collection, I think.
I don't even know if it's fancy set collection, but it's dressed up. Set collection.
Oh, I see what you did.
Oh, gosh. I was waiting for the salad dressing.
We're divorced again.
So the rules. Let's get into the rules. I mean, I think from a learning side, quick and easy.
It was straightforward. Yeah,
super straightforward. I never had to go back to the rule book. I think this is the shortest rule summary I've ever done. Like, pretty easy. Rule book's laid out pretty well. I think it's got like one example because there aren't many pages to the rule book. So
play interaction, not too much there. I guess you could kind of screw people over. I think I looked once and there was, I could take nothing. So I looked at what Kiwi needed and or didn't want. And I left him with that. I think that happened once in the game. But honestly, if there was a choice I could have made that helped me, I probably wouldn't have bothered with that.
Yeah, I think BP the second round was looking at other players' boards a couple times.
Just to make sure, because I had those cards that were most series, I just wanted to make sure I had most.
And I did the same thing with, like, I had some where it was like, I want the least of something. So I was like, I was checking every now and again to see where you guys were at to make sure that I was staying at the least. So, yeah, I think, like, minimal, you could certainly hate draft and take cards that you know other people want. But I think the number of cards that you can get and the number of choices you can make, it's almost always more beneficial to take something that's going to work for you as opposed to hurting somebody else.
Okay, so Does that mean that this game with the whole in-joke thing and the mechanics is that the idea, and we don't know this because the designers aren't here, but do we, you guys, not we, suppose then that they designed it to like kind of push down the analysis paralysis people and were like, you just got to go. Like, these are your options. Boom, move, move.
Yeah, I think.
You could still have analysis paralysis.
I think
paralysis.
You could still have analysis paralysis. Because the only reason why this game was moving fast is because of the type of players we were. Mm. I think that if you had somebody that really had to like math out every possible, like Dr. Strange it and figure out like.
There's actually a lot of math options here. Would you play it again, Kiwi?
I think I would. I would play it again. I was kind of thinking, I think if I hadn't played Abandon All Artichokes before this, this is one that I would consider putting in the quiver because it's small. It doesn't take up a lot of room. It would be a good travel game. But I think now that I have Abandon All Artichokes and like that's kind of in the same boat, right? It's small. It doesn't, that takes up even less room than this game does. Like I liked playing it. I liked the math that went into it. So I would play it again, but I don't think I would. I wouldn't own it because I think I have games that fill the niche better than this.
I wouldn't. I don't think I'd play it again for the same reasons you just said for playing it again. But I mean, from I guess Abandon All, even though I think Abandon All Artichokes is a much different style of game, but it fits the theme, I guess, if you really wanted a vegetable themed game. That would do it. But in terms of like, this is basically card drafting, set collection point system, which is Cat Lady, or for a more complex version, Santa Monica. Like I said, we've played, I think we mentioned, BP and I mentioned this during Jaipur. It's like, we've played so many of these games at this point. Like, you know, I'm going to go with the one that has the cool art and the fun, whimsical theme and is just, you know, fun all around. Whereas this just doesn't capture that. I think it tried too much on the point salad mathy piece, but it's not complex enough. I don't know. This doesn't really fit in anywhere that I think I would have any reason to play it again.
I mean, I just think if there was this or Game of Thrones and it was 9 o'clock at night, I would definitely go with this.
Oh, I thought you were gonna go. I would definitely go Game of Thrones. Like I hated it that much.
9 o'clock at night. I prefaced that 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We might go ahead and try to set up Game of Thrones when I'm not.
That's it. These are your two game options.
I'm setting it up that way to say that, like, I mean, I wouldn't say I wouldn't play it again because it was, if it was out there and like, you know, I was at somebody's house and they were like, oh, I really want to play this game. Fine. But like, I didn't hate it like to not play it, but I think it's the same thing. Like if there were other games in like a convention or something like that, I'd keep moving on because it wasn't that interesting.
So I feel like it's more in the no range.
Right. Yeah.
It was a very strange way to get to
that. I know. We occasionally try to find a situation where we'll play a game, but that was the most stretch I've seen yet. So that is Point Salad.
So if you want to hear us dress up any games, just send your recommendations or thoughts our way at firstturntabletop@gmail.com, Twitter and Instagram, we're at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel, like, just imagine he's just chewing that lettuce just like in between as he's like saying it. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on all your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Eat more vegetables and play more games.
But I do appreciate the fact that she didn't perform the auditory nightmare of actually like pretending to chew into the microphone as she talked. So I do appreciate, I thought it was about to happen and I was just like, oh, thank goodness she didn't actually do that.